Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to be able to share specifically about what we heard or what I heard at the presidential debate. So important. As a Christian, as a lover of Israel, lover of God, we heard something about our values that was very encouraging. In the presidential debate, it was encouraging to hear the words radical Islam, unapologetic, confidently, and direct. Declaring those that are jihadists as enemies of the free world and America, that are American enemies, and that they have to be identified and dealt with. That was refreshing because, you know, President Obama allegedly has got his administration and even edited himself to no longer identify radical Islam as one of our enemies. And according to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's, even they've had every reference to radical Islam removed from all the FBI libraries, all of our databases, Homeland Security. And it's like you've got to identify these radical now. I'm not talking about Islam. I'm talking about radical Islam, who are enemies of Israel. They're enemies of America. And it was so refreshing to hear that we had a presidential candidate who was unashamedly saying, "I'm for Israel. I will be for Israel. America's always been for Israel. This is one of our greatest allies." When you went on a tour of apology, and he started even talking about the things that was said in Arabic on TVs that are not, that most Americans only speak English. And he's talking about, this is what you said on your tour. And he did say, you know, things about America that described us in a negative light. This is our leader. And then he said, but, you know, and you talked about this, John, on VFN radio before, that since he became president, he has not set foot in Israel.
That's right.
Not once.
A friend.
Yeah, right. And so he didn't set
allegedly.
Foot. Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly. And he hasn't set foot in Israel. He hasn't set foot in there. The thing that bothers me about so much stuff, we're being lied to so much now.
Yeah.
You know, and Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. And those he holds captive to do his will are going to lie. But now we're being told such aggressive, in-your-face, antithesis of truths that people right now are trying to rewrite history by just lying about it. And it's a lying spirit. I remember that somebody who has a lying spirit, you just want to believe them. It's not somebody that lies and you automatically go, I mean, somebody that's got a spirit on them that they talk to you and you know what they're saying is not true, but there's something inside of you that draws you to, but instead of saying, this is a lie, that's important. I remember, you know, going to, I was on patrol one night and there's a particular, young man that had just took his, father's station wagon and just burned up a soccer field, did donuts on it and just everywhere. And I come out there to the call. Station wagon's got dirt all over it. It's still in the field. It's got smoke coming from the hood. And this young man, he was so nice. And guilty as guilty can be. But he looks right at you and goes, what? I mean, he looks right at you and says, oh, no, that wasn't me. I mean, this is like 4 o'clock in the morning. Crickets are not out. We're the only two people out on the face of the earth in America.
Yeah.
He looks at me.
Car's still hot.
Standing by keys are in his hand. No, I don't know where the keys were at. And he says it wasn't him. And the interesting thing was you wanted to believe him. You just wanted to. You wanted to believe him. That's a lying spirit. A lying spirit. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And when God was wanting to deal with Saul, he said, who can I send down as a lying spirit to go tell Saul things that are not true so my will can come to pass in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it seems like God has just allowed a lying spirit to just permeate our land, and people are buying into it, like Saul bought into it, right? Am I not?
Right.
It's what happened.
When you have a debate and you have so many people trying to share about the same account that you have to say, check the record.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, check the record? Why can't we just tell the truth now so we don't have to check the record? Why don't we just tell the truth?
I remember, right. You know, we go to, in the sheriff's department, we go to calls at the end of the night, we would come together and we'd sit around and talk about, you know, what happened. You know, this is a call and I was on this and that and the other. And this one particular deputy, he was talking about this whole incident. It was like you're sitting on the edge of your seat and all this exciting stuff.
Right.
And I'm thinking, man, that was, I wish I was there. And he looks at me and goes, you were. I'm like, oh, got
it.
That's called embellishment. And so we're being lied to right now, and we have to understand that this is a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a second heaven strategy. And the people involved in the strategy, you know, God loves the people that are involved in it. So we got to be careful how we treat those in authority, how we treat those, our fellow Americans, and that understand there comes a time sometimes when the Lord says, he's my servant. When you think about, as we talked about yesterday, that Nebuchadnezzar, which was an evil king over Babylon, was considered by God a servant of his to accomplish something that was going to bring hardship in God's people's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, maybe this is that looming feeling that I'm talking about, that this is what the transition package looks like.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have to buy into, because we've all been given authority, mankind has to buy in to some sort of viewpoint to walk intentionally into something that's going to harm them. In other words, you have to be told a lie and you have to believe it.
Right. And I don't understand that, why your most clearest statements about Israel have to come during a presidential debate ever before. I don't understand that we have to guess for 18 months, 2 years, what your position is about Israel, because there's cloak and dagger, there's you know, these hidden messages, and then 2 weeks before an election, it's very crystal clear. Come on, what's happening?
He openly said, you know, I believe it was allegedly in talking with the prime minister of Great Britain, that how he expressed these negative connotations and his feelings and emotions about having to even talk to the prime minister of Israel.
Mm. Oh, that's right. That's right. Actually, that was a conversation with Zakowski. French prime minister or president, and he's no longer in office now, but it was recorded. Allegedly, it was recorded on off the mic conversation that they were talking about the president Benjamin Netanyahu. And he says, "Yeah, at least you don't have to deal with him every day."
Yes, that's it.
At least you don't have to deal with him every day.
Well, that sounds like a friend, don't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I do believe that, and this is the tension. The tension is this. That God could be walking us on a long walk down a short pier, but God is the one doing it, and He can use servants that don't serve Him
to do it.
Don't serve Him. Don't acknowledge Him as God, but yet are serving Him as His servant to be able to do what God wants done at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got that tension, you know. If you find yourself fighting against God's set men, and there's no reason in America that anybody should be fighting anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find yourself fighting against what God has set up, and what we should do is, as Christians, you know, we vote, and we pray, and we pray more than we vote. We trust, you know, what God can do through our humility, our acknowledgement of us being wrong. Praying, and I encourage you, don't point at and think that any particular president or presidential candidate or politician is your problem.
That's right.
We have to understand that we are the problem. The church is the problem. So what we do, when we talk to God, we don't talk to God about everybody else. We talk to God about ourselves, and we say openly, "Dear God, I know that I don't deserve this, and I know that America doesn't deserve this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've done wrong before you, and we've sinned before you, and we went our own way, and we took what was yours and we rearranged it, or even done away with it. And we've created our own gods, and we've turned to religion instead of relationship, and we've done these things, and we forgive us, Lord. We've mm-hmm. sinned against you. Have mercy on us in this land.
That's right.
And that's our prayer. I mean, a meaningful prayer. And God will hear us. We're praying like this.
Well,
it makes sense. But if we pray like, you know, take that president out, put this president in, take that congressman out, put this congressman in, take that, like, we totally miss the fact mm-hmm. that they're God's servants.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You're praying against what God has established. And if we wouldn't have walked in sin, we wouldn't be in this boat in the first place, and Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't know your name.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's right.
And but yes, so one way to
it's exactly what you were talking about yesterday in terms of, do you have the courage? It says, if you missed yesterday's segment, it's a wonderful segment, and you can catch it on the torch at bfntv.com, but it's called, do you have the courage to look in the mirror? You know, we can't be praying about other people. We got to start with ourselves.
As we get older, it's kind of tougher to look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? There's no this like flexing anymore.
Oh yeah,
right.
Well, Pat still, you know.
Yeah, it's we told everybody he's mush now, so everybody knows no longer.
The jig is up.
The jig is up. Yeah, but you're right. Looking in the mirror. I remember this commercial years ago about. I think it was about weight loss or something. Mm-hmm. And this lady had a big mirror in her foyer of her house when she would come in. Mm-hmm. So when she'd come in the front door, she knew that mirror was there. So she would immediately walk in and put her back against the wall because the mirror would be on her right side. Mm-hmm. To avoid looking in the mirror, she would hit the ground and roll like a soldier under barbed wire, and she'd come back up on the other side of the mirror with the back against the wall, and then she'd go into the next room. That's what the church is doing now.
Yeah.
We're avoiding looking at the mirror. And he says, look into my word. Mm. He says in James chapter 1, and listen, America, if you want to be blessed, don't just say, bless me. He says, look intently into my word and study it and do what it says, and you'll be blessed in all that you do. If you go to your gathering, or if you look in your Bible and you read the word and you don't do what it says, you're like a man looking in the mirror and forgetting what he looks like.
Mm.
And how humorous that sounds about this lady coming in. You know, that's exactly how many people walk into the presence of somebody who's talking about the things of God, and their back is against the wall. And they're like, do not shine that mirror in my face. I don't want to see my life. I don't want to see where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And then right in front of you, they hit the ground like a soldier rolling on a barbed wire, roll on the ground and pop back up with their back against the wall, and they go about their life.
So true.
It's kind of like a traditional Christian.
You've just been listening
to it was a really good. We got to find that. Let's find that.
Don't forget to share that
little VFN torch.
Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.